volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona. Welcome to Snippets from the Week. The Week is a magazine that summarizes current events from the past 7 days. It also includes timeless tidbits that rarely make the headlines, and that's what we have for you for the next 30 minutes. Surprising, entertaining, outrageous sometimes, uplifting, funny, and often inspirational. The topics are, It Wasn't All Bad, Only in America, It Must Be True, I Read It in the Tabloids, and finally, Wit and Wisdom. Occasionally, I throw in a snippet about science and animals. I invite you to relax and enjoy what comes next. From It Wasn't All Bad, there were only 80 known Javan rhinos alive, all of them living in the Ujung Kulon National Park, located in the island of Java, Indonesia. But a few weeks ago, Indonesian authorities spotted one more, a newborn female calf, believed to be around 8 months, and her nearly 12-year-old mother. The critically endangered species, which used to live in Northeast India and Southeast Asia, suffers a wide range of threats, such as habitat loss, degradation, poaching, and a low genetic diversity. With such a small population, the birth of each new calf is a cause for celebration. It wasn't all bad. These are some uplifting stories and tidbits for you. Next, when Roberto Rivas, a high school teacher in Norwood, Massachusetts, served a table of 16 at an IHOP where he works on the weekends, he had no idea he would receive a $1,600 tip. The surprise came from Richard Brooks, who belongs to the $1,000 Breakfast Club, a group of friends who each agreed to leave a $100 tip. Rivas, an immigrant from Venezuela, said he would use the money to buy new hearing aids for his mother. Brooks, a lawyer, started the club earlier this year, inspired by a similar group in California. When he was in his 20s, Brooks worked as a waiter, and he still remembers the first time someone tipped him with $20. By giving it all to one person, you're doing something that could make a difference in their life, he said. That makes you feel kind of good, doesn't it? Next, Captain Joshua Haverman, an Air Force flight instructor, was ascending Yosemite's Half Dome when a fellow climber slid down about 80 feet. He landed on a 6 by 1.5 foot ledge, which prevented a fall of 500 feet. Despite intense winds, Haverman stepped beyond the trail's cable barriers to help him. The climber's legs were broken in the fall, so Haverman gathered sticks and turned them into splints. Then Haverman and a ranger helped him descend a cable ladder before a helicopter arrived. Haverman says his military training taught him to be on the lookout for situations like this one. I knew people were going to be in trouble as soon as I topped that hill. More from It Wasn't All Bad. I hope you're enjoying these. After 25 years of silence, the Bobian Bell in the Basilica of St. Anne de Detroit, which is Detroit, only that's the French pronunciation, my best effort at it anyway, is the Anne de Detroit restoration project. The bell is ringing again as part of a $30 million restoration. The bell, a gift from Antoine Bobian, in 1848, stopped calling parishioners in 1998 because its casing had rotted. This week, thousands of people visited the 322-year-old parish, the second oldest Roman Catholic parish in the U.S. in continuous operation to hear once again the Bobian bells chime. We spent so much time here visiting her, and you could hear the bells, and it brings back a lot of fond memories, said parishioner Mary Lou Adamczyk. Next, in December of 2016, 11-year-old Reed Markham discovered that the family of one of his classmates in McAlester, Oklahoma, was struggling financially and couldn't afford Christmas presents. He approached Angie Miller, his mother, asking her to do a toy giveaway. And after posting a video on Facebook, they gave out about 1,000 toys. 7 years and more than 54,000 toys later, his 4-H toy giveaway counts some 200 volunteers handling more than 10,000 gifts donated to Oklahoma children. Now a freshman at Oklahoma State, Reed still coordinates the toy drive, greeting families when they make it to the front of the line. It's remarkable that Reed does this every year. He has a big heart and a definite drive to improve the community, said John Brown, mayor of McAlester. And finally, from It Wasn't All Bad, in November, Peter Park, now a 17-year-old attorney, became the youngest person in California state history to pass the bar exam. When he was 13, his father asked him if he wanted to become an attorney, and the month after, Park began studying for the college-level examination program, sometimes referred to as CLEP, the CLEP test, which allowed him to apply to law school after finishing the eighth grade. What an amazing young man. While in high school, Park, inspired by Abraham Lincoln, a famous autodidact, enrolled in a 4-year online Juris Doctor program at Northwestern California University School of Law. The law is like the fabric of society. It reaches into everyone's lives, Park said. The next section is Only in America, those sometimes weird and outrageous and amazing things that could only take place here in the good old United States of America. First, a Louisiana high school principal punished an honors student because her dancing fell short of God's ideals, end quote. After seeing footage of Kaylee Timonet, 17, dancing at a private party, Walker High School principal Jason St. Pierre revoked her title as student body president and withdrew her college scholarship endorsement. After a public outcry, St. Pierre rescinded the punishments and is now taking a leave of absence. Another snippet for Only in America. A New York woman is suing her local hospital, claiming a neurologist refused to prescribe her headache meds because she's, quote, of childbearing age. Tara Rule, who suffers debilitating cluster headaches, told the doctor she was not pregnant and doesn't want children, and so the risk of the drugs causing birth defects was irrelevant. Rule's neurologist allegedly replied that since the overturning of Roe v. Wade, it's trickier now. Next up, from Only in America, things that could only happen here in the United States. Jacob Chansley, the self-styled QAnon shaman who stormed onto the Senate floor during the January 6th Capitol riots, is demanding the FBI return his distinctive horned headdress. Chansley, who served 27 months in prison, says he can't understand what use the FBI has for the headgear. Quote, it's rather upsetting that they're not doing what the government is supposed to do, he said, and returning the property. Next, a Connecticut public school teacher is suing his high school district, claiming he was punished for griping about a mandatory identity and privilege training session. John Grande, who has taught PE for 35 years, admits he complained of feeling man-bashed and white-shamed after the session. Still, says Grande, the district infringed his free speech rights when months later he was investigated and reprimanded for his comments and ordered to undergo sensitivity training. Next, we come to the section called It Must Be True, I Read It in the Tabloids. Here's where we get some things that might just be a little outrageous and often quite humorous about the things that get reported in the tabloids on the newsstand. A group of tourists in Venice who ignored a gondolier's plea to stop standing up and taking selfies tumbled into a canal when the vessel capsized. The gondolier shouted at them to stay seated as he tried to maneuver under a bridge, according to local reports, but to no avail. Perhaps because the Chinese tourists didn't understand him. Videos filmed by onlookers showed the five tourists hanging onto the capsized gondola in the Chile Canal and the gondolier guiding them to safety. So I guess all's well that ends well in that silly situation. A Kentucky family was shocked to find a live baby owl nestled in the Christmas tree they'd brought home 4 days earlier. Nobody in the household, including its three dogs, noticed the owl until a carpet cleaner saw a branch move and investigated. "I was so stunned," said the homeowner, Michelle White. "We used this room nonstop. It was full of people." The owl was released back into the wild. White, a needle pointer, plans to stitch an owl ornament to replace it. "Everybody's going to be able to have a Merry Christmas now," she said. A woman suffered a gunshot wound to her butt after she brought her handgun to an MRI scan. Oh dear. Despite being explicitly asked during a screening if she was carrying firearms or other metal objects, the 57-year-old entered the room with a handgun, which was set off when it was attracted to the powerful magnet inside the imaging machine. She was shot in the right buttock, according to an FDA report, which didn't specify where the incident happened. A doctor who treated the wound described it as very small and superficial. Lucky for her this time. Continuing more from It Must Be True, I Read It in the Tabloids. Three members of Ohio's Amish community were caught carrying forbidden cell phones during the October 4th national test of the government's emergency alert system. A former community member, Eli Yoder, described on TikTok how three male friends for whom he'd secretly procured the phones were startled when their hidden devices began blaring the emergency alert. "We had our phones on vibrate, and it still went off," Yoder said, they told him. He said the men reported that church elders sentenced them to a shunning, which means they can't take part in community activities. A Missouri man traveled 39 miles down the Missouri River in a hollowed-out pumpkin. Yes, I see in this article there is a picture of a man canoeing down the river in a giant pumpkin, if you can imagine that. Setting a new record for travel by gourd. Steve Kueni of Lebanon, Ohio, pronounced himself cold, tired, but pleased with the result after 11 hours kneeling in the slimy interior of Huckleberry, a 12,008-pound pumpkin that he grew himself. It takes a lot of planning and also a lot of flying by the seat of your pants, said Kuenny, who called himself just a guy with a pumpkin and a whimsical sense of adventure out to have fun. Next, a giant albino rat and a foot-long otter triggered panic on a flight from Bangkok to Taipei when they escaped from a passenger's carry-on bag and roamed the cabin. Please don't try this on your next trip, folks. The rat bit one of the flight attendants on the Vietjet flight as they tried to catch the animals. A search of the plane uncovered a box holding, are you ready for this? 28 live turtles, a snake, a marmot, two otters, and two other unidentified rodents. Officials are questioning a passenger and are investigating how the animals were smuggled through security. Yeah, I guess the equivalent of the TSA folks over there didn't do their job. And finally, a little more from It Must Be True, I read it in the tabloids. A Minnesota woman is suing her dentist for performing 4 root canals. Wait for it. 8 dental crowns, and 20 fillings in 1 5-hour session. Dr. Kevin Moldrum of Eden Prairie caused plaintiff Kathleen Wilson pain and suffering, embarrassment, emotional distress, and disfigurement, said the lawsuit. Moldrum has not commented, but an expert witness testified that the scope of the work was inconceivable and not humanly possible. I can't imagine. I would have jumped out of the chair. Next, we have wit and wisdom. These are quotations from various people in history, some famous, some we've never heard of, and they tend to be uplifting or witty or at least thought-provoking. At least that's how I look at them. First we have, the line separating good and evil passes not through states, not between classes, nor between political parties either, but through every human heart. That was from Alexander Solzhenitsyn, quoted in the Reno Gazette Journal. What the world needs is more geniuses with humility. There are so few of us left. And that was pianist Oscar Levant, quoted in the Psychiatric Times. Some of these journals sound like things we should be reading, right? Next, the most insidious power the media has is in the power to ignore. Radio host Chris Plant, quoted in The Stream. If feminism means anything, it means taking responsibility for ourselves. It is not women as victims, but women refusing to be victims. Gloria Steinem, quoted in The Cut. A diamond earns its sparkle from pressure. It endures. Author Machona Diweyo, quoted in Business Ghana. Accept who you are, unless you're a serial killer. Ellen DeGeneres, quoted in Today. The universe is under no obligation to make sense to you. And that's from the astronomer Neil deGrasse Tyson, quoted in Forbes. More wit and wisdom. The best way to get what you want in life is to deserve what you want. Charlie Munger, quoted in The Motley Fool. The practice of violence, like all action, changes the world, but the most probable change is a more violent world. From Hannah Arendt, quoted in FEE.org website. Happiness itself is a forest in which we are bewildered. Turn wild, or dwell like Robin Hood, outlawed and at home. That one bears repeating. The first time I read that, I didn't really quite get it. Happiness itself is a forest in which we are bewildered, turn wild, or dwell like Robin Hood, outlawed and at home. From the poet Robert Duncan, quoted in the Paris Review. I haven't slept for 10 days, because that would be too long. Comedian Mitch Hedberg, quoted in the Gloucester Times. If we can find the money to kill people, we can find the money to help people. British lawmaker Tony Benn, quoted in Jacobin magazine. If you can't be kind, at least be vague. Advice columnist Judith Martin, quoted in Today.com. Judith Martin was known as Miss Manners, so she had a lot of good advice for how to get along in the world. Fallacies do not cease to be fallacies because they become fashions. G.K. Chesterton, quoted in Crisis magazine. And now I have a little science tidbit that I came across in The Week magazine, so I'm throwing that in just because it was so interesting. 10,000 naps a day. Can you imagine? Chinstrap penguins appear to have mastered the art of the power nap. A new study has found that the Antarctic bird nods off an astonishing 10,000 times a day, with each sleep lasting an average of just 4 seconds. These microsleeps, momentary interruptions in wakefulness, when the eyes close and the brain experiences sleep-related activity, they add up to a respectable 11 hours over the course of a 24-hour day. That's a lot of nap time. The researchers used remote electroencephalogram monitors and other non-invasive equipment to study 14 wild chinstrap penguins incubating eggs in Antarctica. They say the usual sleeping pattern is a likely way for the birds to maintain constant vigilance against egg-hunting predators, especially when their partners are off foraging. There are other animals that are sleeping quite fragmented or in very short bursts. Co-author Paul-Antoine Liburel from the Neuroscience Research Center in Lyon, France, tells CNN.com. But to our knowledge, they are not able to sustain such extreme sleep fragmentation of days and hours at night. So that's your random science tidbit that I threw in for you. I want to end on It Wasn't All Bad and a little more wit and wisdom for you. We'll end on an upbeat note, more from It Wasn't All Bad. Blas Omar Jaime, an 89-year-old Parana, Argentina native, learned the ancestral throaty language known as Chana from his mother, who believed they should keep it secret. But when he retired and started looking for other speakers, he found the language was thought to be extinct. Over 2 decades, with the help of a linguist, he compiled a dictionary of approximately 1,000 words, Vanati Beyada, which means tree, and yogin, which means fire. Now he has taught it to his daughter Evangelina. It's generations and generations of silence, she said, but we won't be silent anymore. Next, to celebrate her 80th birthday, Donna Holmes decided she wanted to learn how to surf. Helped by Brisa Hennessy, her pro surfer Costa Rican granddaughter, Holmes started the day with some yoga exercises to warm up the body before hitting the tropical waters of Fiji. In a video posted by Hennessy, the octogenarian can be seen standing up on the board, surfing the waves as Brisa watches. The video, featuring Madonna's Holiday song, garnered dozens of supportive messages praising Holmes' feat. Hennessy says that Holmes is an adventure seeker who never holds back. This is 80 exclamation point. In fact, 3 exclamation points. It's never too late to catch a wave, Hennessy wrote on Instagram. So special sharing my happy place with my grandma. And finally, on a street in Tacoma Park, Maryland, you can find a now rare payphone, except instead of making calls, it plays bird songs. That sounds a little odd, doesn't it? David Schulman, a violinist, created it in 2016 as part of a public art project competition, rewiring an old payphone so that it played different bird calls. To get the avian sounds, he contacted the Cornell Lab of Ornithology in Ithaca, New York, who sent him recordings of native birds, and he even added voice instructions in a range of languages, including Spanish and Amharic, the chief language of Ethiopia. Each button on the phone plays a different call. Number 1 is reserved for Schulman's favorite, the night heron. That's about all the time we have for this segment of Snippets from the Week. I hope you enjoyed being surprised, entertained, perhaps even uplifted or even a little inspired. And if you chuckled along the way, good for you. I'm Nina, a volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona. Take care, everyone. I'm Nina, your volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona. Welcome to Snippets from the Week. From It Wasn't All Bad. Henry Robinson, a 98-year-old Nevada native and World War II veteran, was surprised at his Henderson home by 2 unexpected guests, the French ambassador to the United States and the American ambassador to France. They told Robinson he was going to receive the Legion of Honor, France's highest civil and military distinction. Private Henderson entered combat in 1944, fighting near the Prume River. Later, he liberated concentration camps and supported displaced citizens. "We only did what was required," he said, "and I'm thinking about the guys we lost." Next, a story about a baby elephant. A 4 to 5 month old baby elephant was reunited with his mother after being separated for 3 days. The calf got lost at the Annamalai Tiger Reserve, a protected area in Tamil Nadu, India, and started looking for his family, who had traveled on about 2.5 miles. The herd waits for a missing calf, typically, but they may also move on for safety reasons. He was found by wildlife wardens who bathed him and covered him in mud so that there would not be any human scent that might cause the herd to reject him. The herd was located using aerial drones. Then the baby was brought back on a truck. He was soon photographed napping with his mother. Supriya Sahu, a Tamil Nadu official, shared the image online with the comment, "When a picture is worth a million words." And the picture that was posted shows the mama elephant lying on her side with the little baby elephant curled up tight between her front legs and underneath her trunk. And the title of the photo is "A Family Nap." Next, a story about Philadelphia. A Philadelphia neighborhood may have been saved from a potential explosion after Kobe, a 4-year-old husky, discovered a hazardous gas leak underground. He started digging compulsively in his owner's yard. Chanel Bell had a gas leak in her house earlier in the month, so when Kobe's hole got bigger and bigger, she went out with her gas detection device, which quickly registered a dangerous leak. She notified the authorities, who discovered three main gas leaks in the neighborhood that could have led to serious health problems or a catastrophic blast. "It feels amazing to know that Kobe saved our block," Bell said. Nice story about a dog to the rescue. More from It Wasn't All Bad. The Jones 30, current and former workers at Rector A. Jones Middle School in Kentucky, have played the lottery together for more than a decade. Last month, they won $1 million thanks to the Kentucky Powerball. The group caravanned together to the lottery office, where each person collected $24,000 after taxes. After learning about the victory, a retired math teacher kept the winning ticket safe, wait for it, in a math textbook. "No one looks in a math book," the former math teacher said. "I knew it would be safe there." Yeah, math wasn't my favorite subject in high school either, but it's so necessary to success, isn't it? Next up, we have, after at least a week trapped in a shipping container, a brown furred dog was rescued at a Texas port. The container was filled with junked cars, and the dog, now named Connie the Container Dog, probably got stuck inside one of the vehicles. Four U.S. Coast Guard inspectors were randomly checking the shipping units when they heard Connie scratching and barking in a 25-foot elevated container. If they hadn't found her, Connie would have had no food or water for another week before the container made it to its final destination. Currently, she's at a rescue agency waiting for a family to adopt her. "We know with all this, she's going to go to a good home," said Ryan McMahon, one of the inspectors. Now we switch from talking about dogs to talking about brides, or rather, almost brides. A California bride donated her $15,000 wedding reception to Parents Helping Parents, a special needs nonprofit, after calling off the engagement with her then-fiancé. She tried to cancel the reception, but with just weeks to go, it was too late to get a refund. So the not-quite-bride decided to turn it into an event that would bring joy to others. Her family contacted the San Jose-based nonprofit, and PHP, Parents Helping Parents, hosted a party for children and adults with disabilities that included food, music, dancing, fireworks, and a photo booth. "Our sons and daughters delighted in every moment," said Trudy Marsh Grable, a special needs parent. And next, we're going to have some snippets from Only in America. These are blurbs about sort of outrageous and amazing, surprising things that could only happen here in America. A Florida school district has removed dictionaries from its library shelves to comply with a state law that restricts students' access to books that mention, quote, sexual conduct. Among the 1,600 books removed by the Escambia County District were five dictionaries, which contain, of course, definitions of the word sex. A district spokesperson said the reference books hadn't been banned, they simply have been removed for further review. A Chicago man has filed a $75 million lawsuit against 27 women who he claims disparaged his dating style in a private Facebook group. Nico D'Ambrosio, 32, alleges the women used the group, "Are We Dating the Same Guy?" to spread malicious lies about him, including one woman's claim that he was very clingy. Such comments, D'Ambrosio's lawsuit states, are intolerable in a civilized society. So do we wonder what kind of civilized society prompts a man to date 27 different women in a fairly short period of time? Next, in Only in America, the state of Michigan has agreed to pay $13 million settlement to patients and staff terrorized by an unannounced active shooter drill at a children's psychiatric hospital. A loudspeaker announcement at the now-closed Hawthorne Center said, falsely, that gunmen were roaming the hallways. Parent David Horine said his 11-year-old autistic son is still struggling with the trauma of the event. Next snippet, residents of Atkinson, New Hampshire have expressed concerns about the opening of the Diaper Spa, a wellness center for adults who enjoy wearing diapers. Spa owner Colleen Ann Murphy, whose facility offers virtual play dates for $200 an hour or a $1,500 all-day pampering for the little one inside you. She says she understands people tend to fear anything that they fail to comprehend. Still, Murphy said, she's optimistic that with time, her neighbors' concerns will dissipate. And now we turn to, it must be true. I read it in the tabloids. So while we're standing in line at the grocery store, we sometimes read outrageous headlines. Well, this tells us what's behind those headlines. An 80-year-old Northern Indian man who had been pronounced dead of heart failure was revived when the ambulance carrying his body struck a deep pothole. That could happen here in Tucson. Darsan Singh Brar's grandson, who was in the ambulance when it hit the pothole, saw his grandfather's hand move, took his pulse, and alerted the driver. The ambulance had been transporting Bra to his family home where relatives had prepared a wood pyre for his cremation. He was rerouted to the hospital. It's a miracle, said his grandson. Next, a Los Angeles auction house is asking for bids on a chance to spend your eternity in the company of Marilyn Monroe. Julian's Auctions of Beverly Hills is offering a crypt in a mausoleum that's located one row up and four spaces to the left of the one holding Marilyn Monroe's remains. Playboy founder Hugh Hefner is interred in the crypt to her immediate left. The available crypt, which can hold a full body or ashes, is expected to fetch up to $400,000. It's the ultimate way to embrace Hollywood's glamour and history, said auction house CEO Darren Julian. And now, more from It Must Be True, I read it in the tabloids. An Albuquerque home builder is under fire for naming his home designs after figures Harriet Tubman and Anne Frank. In a listing for a ranch house, Abrazo Homes boasts, "Just like Harriet Tubman, the icon of American courage and freedom, this home stands out amongst the crowd." The listing for the Anne Frank design noted her view of the seasonally changing tree and called the home sightlines suitable for Anne herself. A co-founder of the development group called it a sincere homage, but acknowledged how it might come across as insensitive. What do you think? The next story concerns air travel, which is kind of interesting these days, isn't it? An American Airlines flight that had taxied onto the runway reportedly returned to the gate to discharge an aggressively flatulent passenger. A passenger on a flight from Phoenix to Austin said via social media that when a loud complaining passenger was accused of rudeness by another passenger, the man exclaimed, "You thought that was rude? Well, how about this smell?" and then unleashed a thunderous blast of gas. That led to further arguing between the offender and several passengers until the plane returned to the gate and the man was told to get off. "We all breathed a sigh of relief," said one passenger, so to speak. Next story is about brides and grooms. A growing number of brides and grooms are using hawks, falcons, and other birds of prey as ring bearers on their big day, says the Wall Street Journal. Jonathan Gonzalez, a falconer in Long Beach, California, charges $1,200 and up for a wedding service. Carrying a pouch with the ring, the raptors fly down the aisle and land on the arm of the bride, groom, or best man. Gonzalez warns clients that his falcons and owls aren't 100% predictable, but no major mishaps have occurred. "They have never gotten poop on a dress," he said. I don't know about you, but I'd be a little more worried that there might be something more dangerous that could happen. Suppose they land on someone's head in the pews. Next, a Brazilian medical student who was struck in the head by a gunshot while partying on the beach on New Year's Eve thought he'd been hit by a rock and spent the next 4 days with a bullet in his head. "Little did I know," said Mateus Facio, 21, who initially iced and bandaged the wound and continued to party. 4 days later, his arm went weak, and he went to the hospital where stunned doctors discovered a bullet in his brain and removed it in a 2-hour operation. That's one lucky young man. And now we turn to wit and wisdom. These are quotations of things that have been said by famous people and some people that we might not know. "No one wins when the family argues," Jay-Z quoted in Clash. "The men in America people admire most extravagantly are the most daring liars. The men they detest most violently are those who try to tell them the truth." That was said by H.L. Mencken, quoted in The Bulwark. "To see takes time, like to have a friend takes time." That was from the artist Georgia O'Keeffe, quoted in Lithub. "In seeking wisdom, thou art wise. In imagining that thou hast attained it, thou art a fool." A British statesman said that. His name is Philip Stanhope, quoted in The Hack Spirit. Boy, there are some interesting names of publications and websites in this section. "Finding your people is half the battle," writer Jami Attenberg quoted in Vulture. "Until the lions have their own historians, the story of the hunt will always glorify the hunter," Chinua Achebe quoted in The Standard, which is a publication out of Kenya. Each time you write a page, you are a writer. Each time you practice the violin, you are a musician. Each time you start a workout, you are an athlete. And that was said by author James Clear, quoted in Wired. So I guess we could all fill in the blank of some activity that we're trying to get better at or more consistent and claim it. I like that. More wit and wisdom. If understanding is impossible, knowing is imperative, because what happened could happen again. That was from a Holocaust survivor, Primo Levi, quoted in the foreword. Think before you speak. Read before you think. That one bears repeating. Think before you speak. Read before you think. And that includes listening to sun sounds. Read to you. That quote came from Fran Lebowitz, quoted in The Knowledge. Example is not the main thing in influencing others. It's the only thing. That came from Albert Schweitzer, quoted in the National Law Review. Every question is a cry to understand the world. There is no such thing as a dumb question. Carl Sagan, quoted in Science 2.0. At some point, hope needs to have a blueprint. It needs to have a game plan. Ava DuVernay, quoted in The New Yorker. I just happen to know Ava DuVernay is a film director and producer. Spiritual nature, like bodily nature, will be served. Deny it food, and it will gobble poison. C.S. Lewis, quoted in The Spectator, a publication in the United Kingdom. Don't tell me what you value. Show me your budget, and I'll tell you what you value. That's from President Biden, quoted in Polity, which is a South African publication. And now I'll share a little tidbit about butterflies. I like to include tidbits and snippets about science and animals because we always find them so interesting. Scientists thought that butterflies evolved some 55 million years ago when nocturnal moths began flying during the day to avoid predation from bats. The evidence seemed clear. That was the age of the oldest intact butterfly fossil, and bats evolved around the same time. Moths had been flitting around at night for some 250 million years prior to that. But a massive study of butterfly evolution involving DNA samples from 2,300 species has found that they actually emerged over 100 million years ago, long before bats. The lead scientist on that study thinks the real explanation for their evolution lies in bees. Several studies have found that the emergence of bee-like pollinators some 125 million years ago triggered plants to evolve both nectar and the colorful flowers that open in the daytime to reveal it. We think the first day-flying moths took advantage of it, Akito Kawahara from the University of Florida tells Smithsonian. They adapted to see color, search for flowers, and drink nectar, so butterflies should thank bees. Just another example of the necessary function that bees perform for us. And now we'll return to It Wasn't All Bad, because I like ending our segments with some uplifting news. So here it is from It Wasn't All Bad. Erica Hart, a 44-year-old pet detective, has reunited 330 lost dogs with their owners in England using a thermal imaging drone. The volunteers started tracking down lost puppies in 2018 after her father gifted her a drone and told her a local dog was missing, setting off on a successful search for the schnauzer. These days, she can usually find a dog that got lost in a field within a day, though her longest rescue effort took 12 days. Hart has even helped people on Christmas Day and New Year's Eve. I've seen a large 6-foot man burst into tears. It is priceless to see their faces, Hart said. On February 8, 1908, back when Theodore Roosevelt was president, Edith Cecchirelli was born in Willits, California, 35 miles inland from the ocean. This month, Cecchirelli and the whole town of Willits celebrated her 116th birthday in the care home she moved to when she was 107. Cecchirelli, the oldest person in the country and second oldest in the world, worked as a typesetter for the Press Democrat in Santa Rosa, where she moved with Elmer Keenan, her first husband, who died in 1984. An avid dancer into her second century of life, Cecchirelli has become a local celebrity, and the city of Willits now hosts a parade on her birthday. And there's a photo of Edith sitting at a long banquet table with lots of roses on the table and cake, of course, a giant cake, and a banner that says, "Age is just a number. Happy 116th birthday, Edie." Our last snippet from It Wasn't All Bad is about an eagle. A bald eagle named Jackie broke a record after keeping her 3 eggs warm for 62 hours during a snowstorm around Big Bear Lake in California. Jackie and her mate, Shadow, became famous when the nonprofit Friends of Big Bear Valley installed a camera close to their nest, which captured the feat at the beginning of February. At different moments, Jackie and her offspring were completely snowbound, with the nest looking like a white hill. Scientists hope the eggs will start hatching around February 29th. Our amazing eagles know what they're doing, no matter how hard it might appear to us, the nonprofit posted on its Facebook page. That's quite an amazing story, and I enjoy reading about something in winter during our hot, hot, hot Tucson summer. I hope you do too. More from It Wasn't All Bad. In 2008, a tornado smashed through Parkersburg, Iowa, demolishing Hope Tompkins' home and casting her possessions to the wind. Among them was a photo of her grandparents on their 1942 wedding day. But last month, Tompkins was shocked to see that same photo on Facebook. Found in the debris, it had sat in a lost and found box at City Hall for 16 years before being spotted by an administrator, Chris Ludwig. He posted it online in hopes of finding its owner. Tompkins said she was in so much shock when the photo popped up, but delighted to be reunited with a priceless family artifact. And finally, Alaska Airlines flight attendant Amber May was getting ready for takeoff from Atlanta last summer when a passenger on the Seattle-bound plane made an unusual request. "Could you help me keep some eggs warm?" An animal keeper at Seattle's Woodland Park Zoo, the passenger was carrying 6 Chilean flamingo eggs, and the incubator had failed. May created a nest out of rubber gloves filled with warm water, which she replaced regularly, while other flyers offered their jackets as extra insulation. All 6 chicks later hatched successfully, May got to name one. She called it Sunny after her new granddaughter, and the two Sunnies recently met. I hope to take her to the zoo as often as possible, May said of her granddaughter. And there's a lovely photo of the hatched flamingo and the little baby Sunny meeting. What a lovely story. Well, that's all the time we have for this segment of Snippets from the Week. I hope you've enjoyed being surprised, entertained, perhaps uplifted, or even a little inspired now and then. And if you chuckled a bit along the way, good for you. I'm Nina, a volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona. Take care, everyone.